Okay, we're back, and welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. I was going to do one thing, and remember, I'm glad to have you with us. My name is Bob Scrivano. I'm your host. Don't forget, I'm not an attorney. Don't practice law. Don't give legal advice. Everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal, tax, or other advice, and that's the end of that, too. I'm looking for another thing here. I want to talk. One of my mini chapters is entitled, or it's about. Let's see if I can get my. I have my draft copy here, folks, and it's huge. It's about the caregiver, and. Let me talk about, you know, I was going to talk about something else, but I kind of got started on this, and I want to finish this today. Everybody focuses on the ill person. I want to talk about the well person, the caregiver. That could be a spouse, it could be a child, it could be a grandchild, it could be whoever. Every day, thousands of caregivers die taking care of someone. Well, Bob, that's a little extreme. No, it's not. In 1/3 of the cases, the well spouse dies taking care of the ill spouse. I'm not making that up. I mean, that's been around there for, you know, 1 out of every 3 couples, the well spouse is the first to die. I think, I forget what this is a study from. I think the National Alliance for Caregiving, okay? And it's an important statistic because when dad loses it, or mom loses it, but I'm going to use dad in this instance, when dad loses it, the stress on mom is more than you can ever understand unless you've undergone it. The stress on the caregiver, if it's a child, I can't tell you how many children I've had, adult children, sit at my desk and weep. We all weep together. Over the stress and their decision-making process and the stuff that they deal with trying to take care of a frail elderly person. Somebody that they love. And the stress is off the charts. If you don't believe that, talk to somebody who's done it. The caregiver gets sick. The caregiver loses their job because they have to take so much time away to take care of their mom or their dad. It interferes with family relationships in the caregiver's home because they're away from home so much. Again, if you don't believe me, look around and talk to people. Stress. Everybody's focused on the person that's ill. I'm telling you, you can't change that person's path. You can protect and change the path of the caregiver. But in order to do that, everybody needs to sit around, have a good cry, admit what's going on, and then focus on the well spouse and make sure that that well spouse is supported and taken care of and given breaks and gets respite care and all of those kinds of things. Some of the things, you know, I've said it 1,000 times. You have to pick the responsible adult in every situation. You have to pick, and that's not necessarily the well spouse. It may be one of the children observing the well spouse. You know, here are some of the things that we see in people who are stressed out taking care of somebody. High blood pressure and stroke. Weight gain or weight loss. We gain a lot of weight because we're eating all the time because of the stress, or we don't eat because we don't sleep, and all of it. That's another one. We don't sleep. The caregiver doesn't sleep. Drug or alcohol abuse, self-medicating, to deal with the stress. Now you have someone under the influence trying to take care of someone who's sick. Tell me if you think that's a good idea, and let me tell you how often that happens, and the answer is a lot. A lot. GERD, gastric reflux disorder, or acid reflux, headaches, body pain, neuritis, isolation, not seeing their friends or family as much as they used to, lack of hygiene and appearance because they don't have time to take a bath or get cleaned up or change their underwear or whatever it is. They have a diminished ability to care for themselves. We're talking about the caregiver now, not the ill person. And the other thing is caregivers feeling trapped, like they have no choice but to do this. They can't see options, you know, the old forest for the trees thing. They're consumed every waking moment with caring for that parent or loved one or grandparent or spouse. It leads to disability on the part of the caregiver. It leads to death on the part of the caregiver. I had a client once where a child was taking care of a parent. And the child had to move from where they lived to where the parent was and quit their job. And they took care of the parent for several years, dutifully, wonderfully, until they just couldn't do it anymore. And the parent wound up in a nursing home because they were incompetent. And the child had lost over $200,000 in salary. Not to mention the emotional wear and tear. Not a bad child, folks. Did it out of love. It's got nothing to do with love. Just the emotional and physical wear and tear is beyond what you can probably comprehend. You need to understand what's going on in the life of the caregiver. You need to ask questions. Are they becoming more suspicious? Why are you asking me about me all the time? Let's talk about your dad. Why do you want to know how I'm doing? Distrustful. Why do you call me all the time to check on how I'm doing? Do you not think I'm doing a good job for Dad? Why are you calling me all the time? This happens, we see this a lot when it's a child taking care of someone. The siblings are calling all the time and the child feels persecuted. Why are you calling me all the time? Don't you trust me to take care of Mom? Hostile. Paranoid. A lot of this is caused by guilt, by denial that this is happening, by feelings of inadequacy. I'm not up to the task. Why can't I do this? I don't feel up to this. Some people are careless. They're just apathetic about it all, but they're still taking care of whoever it is they're taking care of, and they don't really want to be taking care of it. I told you, some people feel trapped. Some people are passive-aggressive about it, the caregivers. You have to look for all these kinds of signs when you're looking at the caregiver. Is there a lack of financial resources? Is Mom terrified because every day she looks at the checkbook and is trying to figure out how in the world she's going to pay for this if Dad needs a nursing home? All of this stuff is going on in the caregiver. Do they hover over the ill person? Now, do they never let them out of their sight? Are they anxious all the time? I'm not talking about the ill person here. I'm talking about the caregiver. And again, in all of these, guilt is a major factor, or feelings of guilt, either real or perceived guilt. Depression is not uncommon. It's very common in caregivers. As a result of all of this, it is not unusual to have not only the ill spouse, but the well spouse both wind up in a nursing home, because the ill spouse becomes ill. I mean, the well spouse becomes ill, can't take care of the ill spouse anymore. And I have some clients right now where the husband and wife are both going into nursing homes because the well spouse just became worn out trying to take care of the ill spouse. If you're a caregiver, listen to me. Stop feeling guilty. You didn't plan for this. It's not your fault. You didn't do anything. You're doing the best you can. Make sure as a caregiver, you're getting support. You're getting rest. You're watching your diet. You're exercising. You're getting sleep. You're getting some recreation once in a while. Make sure you're getting somebody over to help you, whether it's a child or respite care. What a lot of people don't know is you can put dad in a nurse, in an assisted living or a memory care unit for the weekend so that mom can get some rest and go to a movie or go out with her friends or have lunch with her daughter. Doesn't have to be forever. Mom can get a caregiver in for 24 hours so she can go spend the night at her daughter's house and get a good night's sleep. Or mom can spend a little bit of money and get somebody in to cook meals or maybe to clean so that she, when dad's asleep, she can go to sleep. And she's not spending that time cleaning the house or cooking food and all of that kind of stuff. Make sure as the caregiver, you're doing things that are going to protect you. I'll say it now. I've said it 1,000 times and you can get upset with me for being blunt. But if the caregiver dies, what do we gain? Of what good is the caregiver if the caregiver's dead on the floor from a stroke taking care of the ill spouse? I don't know. You tell me. You have to figure that out. I don't have the answer for you in your life. I don't. But you have to ask the question. If you're a caregiver, if you're caring for somebody, or if you know somebody that's doing that, children, when you go visit, please, I'm begging of you, observe the well parent. Not just the, you know, everybody wants to focus on dad, because I'm using dad in this example, because dad is what? Dad has got some dementia, and dad's not doing very well, and dad has some problems, and so when we go visit dad, we want to pay attention to dad. Please pay some attention to mom. Arrange to go over and spend the afternoon with dad so mom can go to a movie with a friend. Or go shopping. Or just take a long walk. Make sure your parents are eating. Make sure they're taking their meds correctly. Make sure they're staying hydrated. Not only the ill person, but the caregiver, the spouse or the child or whoever it is. The level of the impact physically and emotionally, psychologically on caregivers is enormous. And people from the outside, if you're the best friend of somebody who's taking care of somebody, when you go over and visit, observe. Mildred, have you had any sleep lately? When was the last time you ate? You look really tired. I noticed when I came over yesterday you were wearing the same dress. Well, Bob, I don't want to interfere. Yes, you do. You have to interfere. You have to get involved. Because that person can't see their own deterioration. It's impossible. None of us can. It just doesn't work that way. So caregivers, you need to pay attention to caregivers. It's simple. It's not rocket science. And caregivers, you need to pay attention to what? To yourselves. You need to pay attention to what's happening in your life. I cannot begin to tell you how important that is. I mean, I really can't. It's important. I can't begin to tell you how important that is. What? Be honest about yourself and what's going on in your life. If you're a friend or neighbor, you could wind up saving somebody's life. Oh, Bob, I think that's a little bit of an exaggeration. No, it's not. It's not an exaggeration at all. It's a reality. Because every year, thousands of people die who are caregivers while the person they're caring for is still alive. Now, why is Dad at home? Why is Dad not in a nursing home or in an assisted living room? Because Mom's taking care of him. What allows Dad to stay at home? Well, I'm really confused, Bob. I don't think I understand the question. Mom? Because Mom's there to take care of him. If Mom has a stroke or Mom falls and breaks her hip because Dad fell, how does that help Dad? So now who takes care of Dad? What's our plan now to take care of Dad? Do we have a plan now to take care of Dad? I don't know. You have to ask yourself the question. Is there a plan for taking care of Dad? 800-999-8007. If you can't answer these questions about you or about a family member or somebody else, get in and get some direction. You have to have a plan to attack this stuff. There's no other way to say it. I know it sounds trite, Bob, a plan. I heard a plan. But there has to be one. There has to be a plan for when Mom gets rest and Mom has time to eat and Mom has time to prepare food and Mom has time to go to the grocery store and Mom has time to whatever. One of the very first cases I ever did, over 20 years ago, and I'm not trying to be indelicate, but I'm going to tell you the story because it's a real story, and it's really about the plight of caregivers. When I walked into the house, I was met by the spouse, and I noticed that the spouse had a great big bulge on a bicep, and I said, "What happened?" And she said, "Well, I ruptured my bicep trying to lift my husband." I said, "Oh," some of you are already ahead of me. That already diminished her ability to take care of her husband, didn't it? Now, understand, her husband had dementia so severe that she used to have to clip a leash to his belt when they would go to the store so he wouldn't wander off while they were in the grocery store, because she couldn't leave him home alone, and so she would take him with her, and that to make sure he didn't wander off, that's what she would do. After about 5 minutes of talking to her, her husband walked into the living room absolutely without clothes on, any clothes. He had been in the bathroom, and when he had finished, he couldn't remember what he was supposed to do next, so he took all his clothes off. And she had to go deal with that. Now remember, she only has one arm to deal with this. When I started talking to them, again, this was a long time ago, I noticed that he was missing a couple fingers on one hand. Well, it had turned out that one day, he had been a carpenter his whole life, and one day she turned her back and he went outside and fired up a table saw and started running some wood through it, as he remembered, and lost two fingers. Now, I tell you all of this to tell you that, you know, people losing their fingers and that kind of stuff is not, it's pretty unusual. But the stress that had led to the other things in her life, no sleep, skinny as a rail, damaging herself physically, is extremely common. extremely common. And when I say extremely common, I mean extremely common. Who in your life do you know that's a caregiver? What are you doing to relieve the stress in their life? What are you doing to make their life better? I don't have the answer, folks. You have to have the answer. I don't have the answer for your life. If it's your mom or your dad, what are you doing? If you're the caregiver, what are you doing to make sure that you can stay healthy so you're better able to take care of that person that you love? Even if you're a child and you feel invincible and I can take care of mom because I'm only 55 years old, let me tell you the amount of physical and emotional and psychological damage that you're going through because you're watching somebody 24 hours a day. So I'm asking you politely to focus more on the caregiver. And make sure you're involved in their life and make sure they have the tools to take care of that person that they're caring for. Make sure you're looking for changes in their life, and this is important. Love them enough to be honest with them about what you observe. A lot of people don't want to talk about it. They don't want to say, you know, Mildred, I've noticed that you're a little weird. And I notice you're overstressed. And I know we don't want to say that to people. It's none of our business. We don't want to get involved. You have to be involved. And if you're the caregiver, you have to be willing to accept the observations of people on the outside, family, friends, that you know and trust, that to be honest with you. And you need to tell them, I need you to be honest with me. I need you to see how I am. I need you to watch me. Being a caregiver is God's work. Even if you're a professional, it's harder than anybody can imagine, even if you're professional. Make sure you're taking care of yourself or that caregiver in your life. Start by giving me a call or going to my website and making sure you have a plan in place as a caregiver or as a family so that if one of you becomes a caregiver, you have a plan in place for keeping that caregiver healthy. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Or go to my website, assetsandaging.com. ASSETSANDAGING, assetsandaging.com. When you go there, you can send me an email, you can sign up for a workshop, you can get on my newsletter list, you can do all those kinds of things so that you can stay prepared. You can stay positive. You can stay healthy. And you can be better able to serve that person that you're caring for. 800-999-8007. Bring in the family. Families need to be involved in the caregiving, not just one person. 800-999-8007. Couple closing other thoughts. Make sure you listen to last week's program or my podcast on the recent changes in the Medi-Cal recovery regs. Some of them are good, some of them are not good. Some of them are targeted only at seniors who are in nursing homes. So make sure that you're getting the current, most up-to-date information. If you're not on my newsletter list, do it. If you haven't been to one of my workshops in 3 or 4 years, you probably ought to come again. Again, sometime this year, all of us are expecting new veterans rules and new Medi-Cal rules that will have a stunning impact. I just got a thing the other day from a law firm, an elder law. What did I do with it? I just had it in my hands on the new citizenship requirements in order to get Medi-Cal for nursing homes and the things you're going to have to provide. I don't know what I did with it. It was here a minute ago. So it more than ever, you need to stay tuned and stay informed and make sure that you're up to date and current. 800-999-8007. Get in and see me. Consultation's free. 800-999-8007. Or go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Assetsandaging.com. You can sign up for a workshop, send me an email, get more information. But get involved, get a plan, get working on this, because we're all going to get older, we're all going to lose independence, and we need to be able to answer the two questions: who's going to take care of me, and how am I going to pay for it? I look forward to seeing you here again next week, same time, same place, or on my podcast every Wednesday at noon on my website. I hope you have a wonderful day and you've survived the rain. Talk to you next week.